It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tiger with the putter in hand on his home course for the win.
Oh.
All right. Well, that ought to do it. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, the winners of Capital One's The Match.
Tom. 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Dutcher and Rich. That, of course, is from The Match. It was Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods. And they did have Charles Barkley there. And I just want to read one dad boner because it is great how much Charles Barkley has gotten away with. Carl Wise is a fake character. He's this guy who's like in suspended adolescence that lives in Flint, Michigan. So, sure. Charles Barkley got a DUI because he was late for a beach and also trash smashed a scrub through a window of a bar like Dalton Roadhouse. The Chuckster is currently a paid spokesman for Capital One Bank. Got to live above the law, you guys. I mean, Charles Barkley has done a lot wrong, and like no one talks about it. It's amazing how much that he's, and I'm all for it. I mean, God bless him. But it's so great how much he gets away. He's just, he's a Danny DeVito. It's just, he can do whatever he wants. I mean.
What's the worst thing he's done?
He threw a guy through a window of a bar.
What were the circumstances of the fight?
He was in Atlanta, and he threw a guy through a window of a bar. He got a DUI while he was speeding to see a chick. And then he, we've seen the miraculous footage of him chugging an entire bottle of Patron. But the man just, like, he threw a guy through a window, and you never heard anything, like, kind of after that about it.
You know why? He's unapologetic. I think that goes a long way towards doing it.
Also because it's kind of badass. You know, like the way, like, threw a dude through a window, like, that's not something, like, you know, the DUI is bad. But, like, you know, you threw a dude through a window. Like, you kind of think, all right, that dude's kind of a tough, he's a badass.
Yeah, no, the DUI happens.
Yeah.
But the, like, if you know, Ben Affleck goes out and throws a guy through a window.
I'm saying that's badass. Like, yeah, unless the dude
certainly was
like.
But that's also a felony and also something that you're going to have to pay a lot of restitution for. Charles Barkley kind of just walked away from that. Like, what do you want out of me? Like, he he's just, like, gambling and drinking every night and, yeah, and just banging all these chicks and getting all fat.
Well, he was the smartest. He was the smartest move that they made for this broadcast. First of all, I think that the broadcast was more entertaining than I thought it was going to be, to be quite honest. That was because for the first six holes, Tom Brady sucked, and it was hysterical.
It really was.
It wasn't that he was bad by, like, you know, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson standards. Like, that dude sucked,
he was afraid to hit a driver, and he was spraying the ball all over the place. Oh, it was great.
Oh, it was, and what got better? First of all, it started off bad. I mean,
still haven't seen the driver come out of the bag for Brady, sticking to the fairway wood.
Ooh. Big bounce.
That one flew right into a palmetto bush.
It was hammered down there.
You see that, JT?
I did. It flew right into a bush. I'd say I'm about 70 yards from it. I thought I might be in danger, but It got on the other side from me.
And what was awesome is that you knew it was pissing him off because Brady said maybe six words for the first like six holes. Like he wasn't
embarrassing.
Talking.
It's got to be so embarrassing.
I mean, so embarrassing.
He's like everybody else who goes out and plays on a Saturday morning.
No, it's not. It's Tom Brady, who's used to being perfect.
What I'm saying is he looked like any other person for the first time in his life. You know what I'm saying?
What I was imagining was just a series of TV shows. I would watch every day if there was a series of TV shows called Tom Brady Sucks At with ... And just him doing things that he's awful at. Because there's really not anything more entertaining than seeing a guy who's so calm under, you know, who's like, you know, been the most clutch player in football, one of the most clutch players in football history, just effing it up so badly and knowing that it's burning him inside. And the
when he just conceded and he's like, two chicken ass to hit a driver. That was what was great.
It was great.
He's like, I'm not even going to try. I'll hit this 5-iron 170 yards and just get out of the way.
And what was great, too, is that they added Barkley. They let Barkley just pour the gas on the fire, which made it even better.
Sir, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey, brother. Listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from. But I'm going to donate. You know what, Tom, because you're my man. $50,000 if you hit the green.
Done. Chuck, you save yourself $50,000.
You know, Tom, that was... I should have just said if you can just keep it on the planet.
Right, he missed by like a mile after that, too. I didn't get anywhere near it. And the one thing that I'm torn on, there was a moment I'm torn on, because it sucked because it ended that narrative of Tom Brady just sucking for the whole thing. But it truly... was an amazing TV moment, was that Tom Brady has been crapping all over himself for the first six holes, and then he's in the middle of the fairway on the seventh, and Barkley's just been relentless, just killing him the entire time, and then this happened.
Go in!
Yeah!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Check. Take a second. Are you kidding me?
Wow!
Hey!
Check.
Hey, man!
Check.
I got that's
check.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out of here.
Hey.
Wow!
That's what I needed.
Sauces it back in the hole.
Hey, way to get $100,000 for Brooks Koepka.
What a
thanks,
tasty
baby.
Morsel.
Brooks, take
wow.
Brooks, how about that? When the going get tough, the tough get going, boys.
And then he wouldn't shut up for the next however many holes. But I just like to take a suck on that, Chuck. Great TV moment. And as much as I wanted that narrative to continue.
If you sat through the 4 hours to get to that moment. The idea, I forgot it was on, and then I turned it on, and I was delighted to know I didn't miss anything because apparently there was an hour before it where they masturbated each other. And then... I saw it, and I'm like, oh, you know, this is interesting, and they're talking and everything, and Brady sucks. So, you know, I watched it for 45 minutes, and I saw him play a hole and a half. And then I went and did my went about my business, and I came back. I went out for 2 hours and came back, and they were on the 10th. And I'm like, woof. They are. What is going on?
Yeah, there was some rain problems. Obviously, it started late because of the rain.
Then Brady had to play every ball. I mean, when you have to play every ball, like if John, if you're playing and you're playing like Brady in the beginning, you're picking up, right? I mean, I'm just picking up. If I'm all over the place and I'm having people have to spot my balls, I'm picking up. I'm not sitting there embarrassing myself.
The front nine was best ball, and that especially the front nine. You drop the ball in your pocket and you keep the game moving. Now, when he got his game going, it was alternate shot. So that in the back nine, so that it went pretty quick. Yes,
you can't pick up the ball. That's less air time for your TB12 logoed hat. You know, you got to advertise for the people.
The TB12 logo on his car, because I didn't even know it was on there until I saw some article about the match. It was indecipherable. I had no idea that it was TB12. It just looked like someone had graffitied some name on the side of a bus. It looked like nothing, but I guess if you won if you put bet that he was going to wear the TB12 hat.
You want some money.
Yeah, if you bet $1,000, you got $1. So,
well, okay, so there were a couple other things that came out. First of all, whenever they tried to get like somebody else on, like, you know, Brooks Koepka tweeted, I'll give you, however, $100,000 if you blah, blah, blah for Tom Brady. And finally, after he hit that shot, they got Brooks Koepka. It's like, hey, we got Brooks Koepka on the phone. Hey, Brooks, what do you want to say? He's like, hey, Tom, I knew you'd do it. And they're like, all right, Brooks, anything else to say? There you go, Tom. All right, Brooks, appreciate it, man. Like, he had nothing. Like, they called him because they thought there was going to be this big moment, and it sucked. And then Peyton Manning, you know, listen, I know it's not the easiest place to be where the camera's in your face for an entire, whatever, 5 hours it was, but dude was Shecky Green out there. Like, he came out there with, like, Catskills jokes ready to go, and boy, did, like, sports Twitter go crazy. Like, oh, man, Jibs are being ribbed. Yeah. Like, they would flip it's out whenever Peyton would make, like, a corny dad joke.
Anything on a golf course, that's right. Yeah, is the most hysterical thing of all time, because it's people feel like they're in a club,
yeah,
not like a golf club, but they feel like they're in like a
part the of the
brothers
crew.
Of yeah, the brothers of like the, just hanging out on the golf course with the boys.
Like it was like so, it was like Peyton at the beginning. It's like he couldn't help himself, could he?
You know, you bring Eli, could do that. You bring Nick Foles, maybe.
Keep chat.
I was thinking maybe Belichick. Bill Belichick, caddy for me. And just to see how that kind of would have worked.
That's a mental
legend. You know, wow.
Now, it might not have been good for me either, because Bill brings up bad things for me as well. Yeah, that's probably who I would have brought. Bill Belichick.
Oh, he hit a sore spot with Brady. Mentioned
that is
Eli.
The most, I mean, that is the most wordy, overdeveloped piece of humor I've ever heard.
Maybe. We might in a fold.
Let's get Labor let's get back in the cart, shall we? Crank the hootie.
Yeah, hootie, dude, hootie flew down from the sky, and it was like, someone summoned me.
Like whenever there's a corny joke on a golf course, hootie just appears. He materializes.
You're looking in the woods, and all of a sudden, Hootie's face appears, and he shines a light on the bad joke.
He just
that's why it rained. That's why it rained. Let it rain.
He just like, oh, whatever a corny dad joke on the golf course is said.
Hootie just nods in approval, like from the sky.
His head appears in the clouds. Yeah. And the sun shines down on the guy.
And the drummer with the like the weird long Dutch boy is just like in the background cheering. I enjoyed it too. Like the you know reasonable amount of time I watched it.
Sure, it was good. I
enjoyed it, but yeah, when it got like super dad jokey, because I knew it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be,
and it was all Peyton, by the way. Like you know, because you know, Mickelson was way too invested in this.
No, Mickelson was trying like so hard. I thought Tiger. You know, just like you could tell that, like you know, he can be a prick because, like, it was nice and like you know, kind of mean.
Yeah,
and I like that. But
Tiger was great because he had no patience for any of this. And I'm watching Phil Mickelson like look in bushes for Brady's ball on the front nine. You know, imagine Tiger Woods doing that. I think there's a reason why Brady didn't play with Tiger, because Tiger knew that his game was going to be crap on the front nine and didn't want to deal with it.
And no, then Peyton comes walking in and says, hey, guys.
Brady, we were talking. He would have brought Gronkowski because Gronk does whatever Tom asks him to do. Gronk will wrestle, take a year off, come play in Tampa with me later, come caddy for me. And just let
her cry. That's not even a joke. It's so, that's like, that's not even humorous. But
Gronk does whatever Brady wants him to do.
No, I'll tell you why they put Woods, where they put Mickelson with Brady, is because they knew Brady was going to be relatively boring, and Mickelson told him he was going to spaz out. And they put Manning with Woods because they knew Woods would be relatively quiet and that, you know, Brady was going to tell Hootie jokes the whole time. Like, anytime someone tucks, like, a Nike shirt into a pair of Dockers. Here comes Hootie. Hootie comes down and just nods his head.
It goes to high five him, but the person's hand goes through the smoke because he's just an illusion.
He's not really there. He's like, I'm always here.
Wherever there are bad dad jokes cracked on a golf course,
Hootie will always be here. Every time you're having a hot dog at the turn, I'll be here. All right, we might have to revisit that sometime.
So I'm getting tweets and pictures. The Hootie joke gods now. Somebody needs to make a Photoshop of Hootie looking down from the clouds. What with if his thumbs up on Peyton Manning?
If you play in Australia, like Hootie rubs his eyes and he's in a bathrobe and comes down because he's been resting.
But I mean, it was like filled with that, and then there was like Twitter afterwards, like post coitus, the match Twitter.
Yeah. And that was like, the thing is that I was like, I get because I did look at Twitter during it I forgot that it was on, and then I knew it was on, so I looked at Twitter to see what was happening because it doesn't say, you know, on the screen, it doesn't give you the scores, it just gives you the who's up and who's down. And I saw that Brady was playing like crap, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to put it on. And, like, you know, it was interesting, and they were talking and stuff, and then I went, okay. And then I just don't know how anyone sat down and watched the entire thing. I knew Hardy was getting, because I follow him on Twitter, was getting pretty impatient with the thing.
Well, yeah, Tom Brady retweeted Charles Barkley, like, making fun of Tom. And Tom Brady wrote, I thought this was champions for charity, Chuck. And Hootie comes down, high fives Twitter Tom Brady.
It's just, the like button's just his face. All right. We'll be back. Bert Breer, unfortunately, we're talking to him again, but there's a reason. It is because he has interviewed someone in the sphere of Tom Brady. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Right. Took the liberty of urinating, and I guess that was a close call. 98.5. The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We talked to Bert Breer on Friday, but right over there, the old MMQB column he has up there at SI.com, and it's Tom Brady Fever. He's coming out with a documentary called The Man in the Arena, which will be a 9-part docuseries, and it will be released next year on ESPN. And it's not going to be good. But Bert Breer talked to the man Gautam Chopra, whose dad is a huge fan of psychedelics. There is a movie on Netflix that's very lighthearted, but it's these celebrities talking about their experiences on psychedelics. Ben Stiller's is the funniest. And he actually called his dad while he was tripping. And Bert, you had the opportunity to sit down with the man, did you not, or talk on the phone or in some way converse?
Yeah, we talked on the phone on Friday.
Okay. And that was okay. Right after we talked to you, because our whole concern was that, you know, this is the reason why this wouldn't work the way that The Last Dance did was because a lot of the people who were involved in Tom Brady's story still have things to lose. Like, they're still playing. They want right. to be able to get there's, you know, coaches who are still in the Michael Jordan one. A lot of these guys have nothing to lose anymore. They're not in the league, so they can tell their stories. They can talk trash. And you talk to Gautam Chopra, the guy who's directing this, and the headline is essentially, this will not be The Last Dance. So what has he said that's going to be different and make this stand out?
Well, for one thing, the reason there are nine episodes is it's going to be the nine seasons that he made the Super Bowl in New England. And so there'll be an episode in 01, 03, 04, 07, 11, 14, 16, 17, and 18. And I think the idea, like the whole idea came up. So before the Eagles Super Bowl, he, you know, he was like, Brady wanted him in Minneapolis, and we're going to capture a bunch of stuff to wrap up Tom versus Time. And then the week before, basically Brady told him, you can come, but I'm just not going to do anything with you. And so he went to Minneapolis and was just there that week and, you know, thought to himself, okay, like, well, that's fine. We'll work around it. The next year, which was the last Super Bowl year, Brady called him again and said, why don't you come to Atlanta? And, you know, Gotham's like, why would I come to Atlanta when you just did this to me last year? He said, no, come. And so, you know, then they were in the hotel room the night before the game, and Brady basically explained to him how he'd grown from the experience and how he was different this time around. And, you know, it was just sort of, I think, struck Gautam that, like, one experience kind of affected the next. And so it's sort of going to be, from what I understand, like an explanation of how, you know, each experience that he went through kind of affected the next experience. And it's going to tie the nine Super Bowls together. So it's different from The Last Dance in that it's not retrospective. It's more kind of, all right, here he is. He's still playing at 43 years old. And this is how all of these experiences, all nine of those experiences, came together to make him who he is.
Okay. You said they're already interviewing, like, because, I mean, obviously, the amount of people that they interviewed for The Last Dance was awesome. I mean, including presidents. You said they're already interviewing people. Who's on that list that they've already spoken to?
So he didn't want to disclose a lot of it, and he said that they were planning on doing a lot of it over the last 3 or 4 months. And for obvious reasons, they haven't been able to do as much as they wanted to. They've already got one bank with Bledsoe. They're going to try to get Belichick. I know that. You know, I asked her. Yeah, and I asked, are you going to get antagonists? You know, because if you look at the seasons, guys, like 07, you have to talk about Spygate, right? So do you get Roger Goodell for that? 06, like, would be 16, both 14 and 16, you got to talk about Deflategate, right? So do you get, like, Ryan Grigson? So, like, to me, there are all of these different things where it's like, are you going to have the other voice? Because that's the obvious question, I thought, right? Like, is that with Jordan, the question was Isaiah going to talk? You know, is his wife going to be in it? Like, there were all these questions with, like who was going to be part of the Jordan doc because Jordan had some control over it. And I think the same question exists for Brady is, who are you going to get for this documentary that's like an antagonist that maybe isn't going to say the nicest things.
Now, does this seem like, Bert, it's going to be a little masturbatory? Because, I mean, Goodell's not going to say anything. He can't. And you're talking about a guy who's, you know, they're focusing on the zenith of his career, these different times. And obviously Chopra wasn't with him, you know, in the beginning and in the first few Super Bowls. So exactly what's the point? Is it how he is it going to be one of these things like what preparation he did and, you know, how if he, you know, didn't play well in one, he worked super hard at the next one. I mean,
I think it's sort of how one affects the next,
right?
And how, you know, they all affect each other. And I think there's going to be sort of, I think, pieces of it where it's like, this is this stage in his life, and this is who he was at this point, and this is how he's different from this point to that point. And the one example he brought up to me that I thought was sort of what was interesting was, I said, give me something that's like sort of stuck out from the interviews you've done with him so far. And he said like that Brady told him the Patriot way was really born with the 2004 team, right? Like 01, like he's like, okay, that was kind of a miracle. And then 03, like you're starting to get your footing and this is who we are. And then 04, it was like, all right, like now we've got it down. And he sort of identified, Brady did, he identified to Gautam Chopra, like, this is the year that everything that we accomplished after that, like, it all stemmed from 04. Like, what we became as an organization, like, that foundation was there in 2004. And so, like, I think that there are going to be pieces of it like that where it's like, all right, like, so what we accomplished in 16, like, what happened here in 14 and what happened here in 07 set the stage for that. And so, I mean, look, like the guys, I don't think there's any question. The challenge is there's so much stuff out there on Brady already that it's going to be hard to find new stuff, but that's the idea of it.
Well, here's the only problem with that format. And, you know, at least we know now, you said each one of the episodes is about one of the years where he went to the Super Bowl. And some of those years are going to be phenomenal because obviously Deflategate and everything like that. But that leaves out one of the more interesting aspects of Tom Brady's career, and that is him leaving New England and going to Tampa Bay. So you're telling me this documentary is going to have none of that?
I asked if it's going to address him leaving for Tampa. First of all, I asked two questions. I said, like on that, I said, are you going to follow him in 2020 in Tampa? And they said, and Gautam said, no. Not in the sense that it's not going to be like The Last Dance and where they followed Jordan for that one season and then it was like back and forth and back and forth. It's not going to be like that. But they are going to be with him as they normally would be because these guys do follow Brady around to some degree and they do capture things. And so if they win the Super Bowl in Tampa in 20, then there will be 10 episodes. And then they will address it. So that's part of it. And then the other part of it that he did say, when I did ask specifically, are you going to address, like, if it doesn't that doesn't happen, are you going to address him leaving for Tampa? And, you know, his answer was, well, it was definitely something that we discussed in 17 and 18 if he was ever going to leave. He's like, I don't think he was setting the stage for his departure then. Like, I don't think he decided 2 years ahead of time that he was leaving New England. But it's something that we'll definitely be weaving into those years.
Oh, man. I mean, because if they – I mean, obviously, if they don't win the Super Bowl and that part is somewhat neglected in the documentary, that's going to be a major, major flaw. I mean, especially
– I don't think it can be. But here's the thing, though, is like think about this. Like, how big a story was the conflict between Brady and Belichick in 17, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, so 17 is going to be one of the episodes. So they can't, like, in my mind, when I'm thinking about this, like, you can't talk about Tom Brady's departure from New England without addressing what happened in 17, right? So if you're doing something on 17, you can't do something on 17 without addressing the departure, if that makes sense.
Sure, but, I mean, if you have the ability to sit down, like Gautam Chopra is going to have, with Bill Belichick, and you can't ask him pointed questions about his feelings after Tom Brady left and like what that whole situation was like, you know, that just seems like a massive missed opportunity. I mean, that would be arguably the best
Absolutely.
Episode of
no,
the thing of him leaving.
But he's
absolutely,
not anything,
absolutely, you know? 100%. And you know what? Like, I'm fascinated to see if Belichick does it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, he'll do it, but he won't say anything. They're doing it too soon. Did he say anything about that they're doing this, they're jumping the gun on this at all?
I have something in my notebook on that I'll send to you guys that okay. I don't think I used, but I did ask. I did ask specifically, like, why not wait 5 years? Why not wait 10 years? The Jordan doc was 20 years.
Yeah.
And, like, God's answer was, like, basically, this is not a retrospective. And we may do Brady's Last Dance in 2030 or 2040. But this is not a retrospective. This is very much like the man in the moment. And like, he's still sort of kind of like it's more introspective than retrospective. It's sort of who he is now as an athlete at 43 years old, and having the example he gave me was like Jordan had to keep looking at that iPad to remember some of these things. Like, oh yeah, like I remember that, and then he'll tell his story. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Brady, it's more everything's still fresh in his mind, and that's sort of the idea is he's analyzing this stuff as it's still ongoing.
All right, well, it sounds like it's not going to be very good, but there you go.
Some of those years are going to be great.
Aggrandizing. It's going to be self-aggrandizing. But Bert, I have a question because we always talk about this, but I'm interested in your opinion as someone who has covered the team and covers the NFL. When do you think the books that is going to come out that is like Boys Will Be Boys, which I believe was the Cowboys book, or the Bad Guys one, which was the 86 book, Mets book. When does that come out, and who do you think does it about the Patriots in this run with Belichick and Brady?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, there is one coming out soon. Isn't there like
– The Palace
I can't
something?
Remember the author.
Yeah.
No, the Dynasty. I think it's called The Dynasty. Okay. That's coming out. I don't know when that's coming out, but there was a guy – he's a famous author, and I'm an idiot for not knowing his name. But like, he followed them in 17 and 18, I think. Like, he was embedded, and that is coming out in the next year or two. So like that, like we'll see how that one goes. And then I think like ultimately, I think down the line, I mean, I don't know who's going to write. There are a lot of guys who've been around the team for the bulk of the period. I mean, you could do some of it now because. Like the first era of Patriots, like those guys might be like far enough removed now where they would be okay talking and telling real stories, you know? So like, I'm not like this era, not so much, but like the Vrabel, Brewski, Harrison, Law, Malloy, like that era, like you're probably like separated enough now where a lot of those guys could speak freely. So we may not be that far off.
I want to hear about Malcolm Butler. That's what I want.
But that's like football. Because there's going to be – because the great thing with Boys Will Be Boys is that – and we had the – I think it was Pass. I can't remember who wrote it, but it was – or Wetz or someone.
Jeff Perlman.
Okay. Oh, Perlman, sorry. And so we had him on 2 days in a row. Because – and I know that there's not going to be stories. There's not a Charles Haley on this team and there's not a White House. But – the dynamics of that, like someone who like really knew Brady and the evolution of Brady from like, you know, a dumpy guy who bought a stupid Lamborghini into like the guy he is now, and the what was going on in the building and all the weird crap that was going on seems right. Like it would be fascinating stuff. So
you say the Malcolm Butler thing's football-y. It might not be. Like that to me is why all of this is. Like, that would be interesting. And by the way, the guy who's writing that book, The Dynasty, is Jeff Benedict.
That's right, yeah. So the story I heard on Malcolm Butler was actually, and I think I've told you guys this, but the story I had heard on Malcolm Butler, and there may be more to it than this, but I mean, the story I heard on Malcolm Butler is that he was legitimately sick earlier in the week, and he shows up on Wednesday to Minneapolis, and he gets there, and the coaches tell him, you're demoted. You're going to be the third corner this week. And he practices like crap because of it, goes in the tank, and they decide at the end of the week we can't trust him. And that was what I heard the story was.
That's not very interesting.
And they made no adjustments.
But I'll tell you this, is that...
That's the part that's hard to see. See, that right there, Rich, that's the part that's like... Yep. Well, you know, something doesn't smell right.
Okay, yep. I'm talking about you find the two jabronis that deflated the balls. You find out how they got them to disappear.
Oh, yeah.
You find Matt Walsh.
You find Matt Walsh from Spygate.
Yeah. I mean, all these things would be very interesting. All right. Well, Bert Breer, good job.
I have one question for you, Fred, really quick, because I did listen to you guys in the car here on the way. Did you guys follow Eli on Sunday?
No, I heard he was, like, you know, being kind of corny.
Oh, God, dude.
Yes, I did.
Everything
I did.
That you guys said with the Hootie stuff and everything else a minute ago, Eli, like, was such, like, such an awesome sidecar to that. Like, so he shows up on Twitter on Saturday, right? Signed up for Twitter suddenly out of nowhere on Saturday. Sunday comes in and tells a couple dad jokes, like you said, right? And then all of a sudden, like the third or fourth joke, there's a Frank's Red Hot hat.
Yeah, I know.
On.
Okay, all right. Rich, pull up his tweets. Rich, pull up his tweets, because I have a feeling the ghost of Hootie was in his ear going,
yeah.
Here's what you put next.
Oh, here we go. Fred?
All right, save him.
From Eli Man. Okay, we'll break. I'll come back.
All right, thanks, Bert. We'll be right back here at the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Chuck, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey, brother, listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from. But I'm going to donate. You know what, Tom, because you're my man. $50,000 if you hit the green.
Done. Chuck, you save yourself $50,000.
Whew. You know, Tom, that was... I should have just said if you can just keep it on the planet.
.985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And remember how I had lost 30 pounds during the coronavirus?
Yes.
That's all going to be back by the time I see you guys again. I just had a Chick-fil-A sandwich and leftover enchiladas for breakfast.
Oh nice. All right.
Talking. Yeah. So.
Well, that reminds me. How did Milo's birthday party go with all the assorted foods he had lined up?
Well, it went really well. I was against having the virtual birthday party because I thought it would be sad. But my wife set it up, so there's like 10 kids on this thing, and we surprised him with it, and he was very happy. But, I mean, yeah, it ruled for him. There's two kids next door, so he got to play with them. He got to go rafting. He got to, or tubing and all that crap. Oh, yeah. The kid has it made here. They're staying here for 3 weeks when I come back, so... But Stephanie doesn't trust me, so she's coming back with me too. So
sure,
yeah. Yeah, she's coming back to keep an eye on me, and I'm not lying. Yeah. So she doesn't want me to get any mischief. So so it was good. So and then they'll be here, so they have something to do. If you're here, like my parent, like when I freaked out about the COVID stuff. Like, my parents, like, couldn't figure out why, because they're so far removed from it.
Yeah.
That, you know, Sure.
They knew that, like, my mom was afraid. My mom made us quarantine. My dad basically didn't care. But my mom made us quarantine downstairs, and she's asked that we don't go anywhere, like, eat out anywhere or anything like that. And she kind of doesn't want us to go to the grocery store or anything, which is heartbreaking because, you know, I really want to go. And, like, all the drugstores here, because there's so many, like, old people, like, it's half old people and then half, like, people that have come to this country to do construction. So but like, everything's drive-through. So the CVS, it's like Al's on Happy Days. Everyone's just chilling in the line waiting to get their medicines. Sunday, Monday, let's go live. And so I've been to Arby's, Chick-fil-A twice because I got it for my son for his birthday. I have been to Taco Bell. I've been to Walgreens and CVS. And I've been to a gas station that has a Subway in it that I would pay you $100 to eat a foot-long sandwich from. That it smells wrong. Like, it smells wrong. And when I'm in Boston, I eat Subway on the reg because it's, like, on my way home. And I would dare you to eat from that. It's like the same guy that runs the register for the gas station makes the sandwiches. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. But the people were wearing masks in there. Okay. I mean, people were wearing masks. So
you got a Panda Express down there, too, right, on the Street of Dreams?
Like, how you know better than I do. Yes, there is a Panda Express.
Because a listener sent me a map. That was the best thing. While you were talking about it, you said what city it was, and, like, said, oh, yeah, dude, Fred totally has. And he sent a map, like a screen cap. And I'm like, wow, he's totally right. It's like a Captain D's there, too.
Well, okay, if you see everything that's on there, and if you have a memory of the map, which you seem to, my parents have a dinner party, social distancing dinner party that they're going to one night while we're here. What do you think the family's going to go out and get special?
Oh, special?
And it's the family.
Olive Garden? Olive Garden?
Oh, no, I wouldn't get Olive Garden, no. It's the family, so it's got to be something everyone will eat.
Oh, Ruby Tuesdays.
No, baby, Bojangles, come on.
Oh, Bojangles, okay. All right.
They got Ruby Tuesdays at the airport.
Yeah, Bojangles, so. All right.
Mm-hmm. So Ruby I got Tuesdays. That going for me.
Ruby Tuesdays, unfortunately, has to get rid of the salad bar, I think.
Yeah.
That was the best part of Ruby Tuesdays, was a salad bar in the middle of everything.
They say that it's the death of the salad bar, but I'm thinking, now, is that the case? Because the world has lived with the salad bar for, I mean, I think probably since the beginning of time. I mean, people ate. I mean, is it the end of the buffet?
I think it is for the time being. Like, this is until there's, like, a they get rid of the, you know, there's a vaccine. Right. Yeah, no one's going to do a buffet.
No, I know.
Vegas will never be the same again.
No, I know, it sucks. You can't let once there is an antidote, once there is something against the virus, you have to bring those back. You can't let it win.
Are you kidding me, Fred? I'm telling you, as soon as there is a vaccine, I'm going straight to Vegas and then going straight to the Caesar's Palace Buffet. It might be one of my top three favorite restaurants in the world, in one of my favorite cities in the world. Like, I'm going to do things that would normally get me so infected. As soon as I get that vaccine, I'm going to run naked through a crowd of people and rub on everyone.
Because
I don't care.
Yeah, because there was to interrupt you there, but there was an article on CNN. It's like the death of the salad bar. And I'm like, why? Like, why could you never have that again? There's 100 years between pandemics. And, you know, once there's a cure for this, what, are we going to just live our lives in fear of another pandemic? Go on.
Here's why. It's because most places that have a salad bar usually aren't the kind that have the type of capital to sustain for 2 years of not getting any money.
Listen,
you know what I mean? The Sweet Tomatoes Corporation and the Golden Corrals of the world, you know, you wonder, how long can they sustain without 2 years of money? But now, you know, maybe some amazing entrepreneur, like in
2022 will come out and say, let there be buffets. And like a new newfangled one. And once again, it'll be the place, it'll be the hot spot. Everyone's going to want to go to a buffet because it was forbidden fruit for so long. Yeah. So, you know, make buffets great again. And I'm sure that's what's going to happen in just a couple of years. I'm all about it, dude. I got no shame. The first restaurant I ate at the Encore, dude, there's all those great restaurants. I went straight to the effing buffet because it's a casino buffet, and casino buffets absolutely rule.
Yeah, every Easter we went to the Langley, and then it hasn't been open the last 2 years, and it better be open on Easter. They better have the
Langham.
The Langham Hotel, and they better have... by Easter, there better be a cure for this thing, or a vaccine, or whatever the hell you call it, because I want a buffet. All right, well, we'll get back to Eli Manning's tweets, but Rich, you have some armpit stuff here happening?
I do. This is a special coronavirus version of the armpits of America.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.